Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming to you in a time of need and great distress, a city licking its wounds once again, Boston, crestfallen, heartbroken, down and out once again following the sad state of affairs that was the Celtics losing a Game 7 to the Miami Heat, coming all the way back with the epic Derek White put back in Game 6 for naught. Fear not, Boston sports superfan, members of Patriots Nation who share part of that Boston sports concentric circle with those who bleed green. Because when you need to turn to something positive, where do they go, Andy?
Foxborough.
They come to the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to the latest and greatest episode brought to you by our friends at WEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Here today to tell you to buck up, buttercup, to turn that frown upside down and put a smile back on your sports face. You got your old pals, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Jumbo Hart, and because we know you guys need an extra ray of sports sunshine, we are proud to introduce the latest member of our extended Foxborough football family, the newest member of the WEEI team. He'll be blogging, he'll be beat reporting, he'll be podcasting. If there's something that needs doing down in Foxborough, we proudly present Mr. Mike Cadlick. Mike, welcome to the show, my man. It is great to have you.
What's going on, guys? I'm fired up to get started. I appreciate the warm welcome. It's tough to have to do this the day after what just happened to the Celtics, but like you said, we're gonna turn our face right around and, you know, head down to Foxborough. So yeah, I'm super excited to be here. So thank you for the intro. Let's go.
Well, the good news is that after what the Celtics did, pretty much everything else, even losing OTA practices due to a stupid error, is not that bad, right? Like everything in Foxborough is a little bit better. They're not really talking about blowing it up the way they're talking about blowing up Celtics. So it's all good. And before we jump into it, just in case some people, because I think most people probably are a little bit familiar with your name, maybe your voice, your Twitter handle, things like that. But just give a quick background, pick a quick resume as to what you've been doing and how you got to WEEI.
Yeah, sure. So like you said, my voice is lost because I screamed my head off when Derek White hit that shot in Game 6.
And there's no shame in having celebration voice. Andy knows and mocked me roundly on the radio over the weekend. I have celebration gimpitude. I jumped up from my chair like an old man to celebrate Derek White, and I popped my calf.
Not like an old man.
Oh, nice.
I am an old man.
I know. Now we have to recover. We have to recover, and we don't even have games to watch while we do so.
We've got your voice, my leg, and Andy's mood. Together, we make for a perfect body of...
Welcome to the Six Rings podcast.
No, seriously, Andy's right. It can't, like, we have bottomed out. It can't get... It's almost, in a lot of ways, Mike, a perfect entry... Yeah, man, Andy's making sure about that? But we've been huge fan. We've been a huge fan of your work, Andy. I was impressed when I met you last summer on Media Hill. It was my first time over there navigating my way from fandom to media semi-legitimacy. Of course, Andy, it was always like, what's Fitzy doing over here? But I saw...
Security!
He belongs over there with the pom-pom waivers. I saw you over there and started following you and have been impressed how you've grown your Twitter game. Like, you're on top of it. You aggregate, you report, you opinionate very sharply. Where'd all this Patriots passion come from?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I'm local, from Mass, from around the city of Boston, so always been a sports fan. Went to Boston University, got my master's, and from there I was taking some sports journalism classes with the one and only Sherrod Blakely, Celtics reporter. fell in love with it from there. Did some interning at the one and only CLNS Media in Boston. So that's really where I got my start. Did some interning, you know, podcast editing, all that good stuff. And then they gave me the opportunity to write and start to, you know, grow myself. And so sort of just took it from there. Evan Lazar left, went to Patriots.com. I filled in for him as their beat reporter last year. And now we're here. So yeah, been a fan of the Pats my whole life. Able to, like you said, Fitzy, kind of stay on top of Twitter and Instagram and, you know, follow them that way and, you know, find out what this team's up to. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get started. I am relatively optimistic about how this team is going to go this season. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sure we'll kind of get into that, but that's a little bit about me. So let's talk Pats.
There we go. Yeah.
Relatively optimistic. My measuring stick or barometer there is the recent PFF simulator that had the Patriots beating the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Bills twice. Would you call yourself PFF optimistic?
Not exactly. Not exactly. Maybe not those specific.
Good. So you maintain a shred of credibility in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fine. I won't be inviting you to my duck boat party, Mike. That's fine.
No, I think there's a chance. I don't know. I've talked 11-6 is kind of where I can see this team. I don't know if they beat Buffalo twice. Ooh, I see Fitzy's eyebrows go right up.
Even the super fan Homer put his eyebrows up, and they're big eyebrows. That's tough.
I got brows for days. Look, we've
been at a time, just like the Celtics, one game at a time.
Exactly. Like so,
0-2.
Would you please? The poor boy, he hasn't even gotten his key card to the building, and you're already trying to make him sick with your toxic radiation. Come on. Give him a minute. Let him. He knows what's up.
Mike's into this thing.
Mike's plugged in and connected. Yeah, you got it. No, Andy's whole thing is trial by fire. I like to joke around with a nice little general slap and tickle. Welcome to the party. Maybe grab a cocktail, whatever. Andy's like, nope, here you go. Just that, and that's the way it goes. And I understand. But some of the things that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, Mike, one of the big things has been Andy calls it, we're the big C word podcast. Hold tight. Meaning that this team this year, what you can hope for most is that they will be competent following the removal of the reverse engineers on offense, Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, bringing Bill O'Brien back to the party. And that with the toughness that they'll be instilling on defense, special teams, and hopefully on offense as well, that they'll be competitive. So they could very well finish with a similar record to last year. Maybe they'll even improve upon it a slight bit. But I won't see that, and I don't think a lot of people, at least I hope they won't, see that as a failure, because they'll be making strides to overcoming 2022, picking back up where they were at the end of 21, and maybe advancing from there.
Well, I'd say that again, like, you know, you mentioned slightly improving from last season and the dumpster fire that it was on offense, right? Like, there's just no way that you can get worse than that. Like, you're really starting at the bottom from where this offense was at. So again, you bring in Bill O'Brien. I'm excited to see what they can do. They upgraded. I would say they upgraded with their offensive weapons. I know some people disagree, but you bring in guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, who I truly think he's better than Jacoby Myers. I do. I think he's better and he's a little bit cheaper. Mike Gesicki helps you find, you know, mismatches and matchups both inside and outside in the slot. And, you know, you can use them on the outside too. So again, I just think last year they had a chance to make the postseason in week 18. You completely revamp your offense. You give Mac Jones a sliver of a chance, and you go from there. The defense stayed the same and improved a little bit. And, you know, they were already, you know, a solid grouping last year. So again, we'll see what happens. Take it one game at a time, but you can't get much worse than, you know, what happened on offense last season. So again, stay optimistic to start.
And expectations are important always. Yeah. You know, you look at the expectations that were coming off for the winter sports and what happened there, the failures of the Bruins, the failures of the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And then you compare that to the limited expectations for the Red Sox, where we've ridden kind of this weird roller coaster for a month and a half here, where they're not in last place. They're actually competitive. If they played in a different division, they'd be pretty good. They'd be this, right. They'd be that. Where I think part of any of the excitement for the Red Sox is the low expectations coming in, and like people expecting Chaim Bloom to be fired by this, you know, Memorial Day or whatever. And I think the Patriots are probably on the lower end of the expectation meter, just because of last year, no really transformational alterations to the roster. I mean, if there was a transformational move, it's Bill O'Brien and what he could represent for the offense. So, you know, the one thing I've said, and we've talked a lot about this, is unfortunately, I think you could be a significantly better football team, whether that's 10, 20% better, and be a last place football team. You know, they face a really tough schedule. That was another one of the Pro Football Focus things that they kind of throw out there is Patriots have the toughest schedule. And I think there's a good chance that's true. It's always hard to monitor NFL schedules in the summer because you're a couple QB injuries away from the schedule looking very different. We learned that lesson last year, and they've really eaten up backup quarterbacks. But do you think they are the fourth best team in the AFC East? I guess that's the first barometer or measurement that we talk about, because with Aaron Rodgers joining the Jets, I think there's a lot of people that believe the Patriots are the fourth best team in the East.
Well, we'll start with hot takes right away. I actually think there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers and the Jets can win the AFC East outright. I think that team, if Rodgers is, you know, mentally, physically there, which he's always kind of been physically there, but it depends on if he checks out or not. That team's going to be a wagon. Well,
Garrett he's actually Wilson's at Taylor Swift dancing, so we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, with Miles Teller, right? That was
yes,
that
his
was
cap's okay.
What a strange world. If you had Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the New York Jets, at a Taylor Swift show, celebrating with Goose's son at a over Memorial Day weekend on your 2023 bingo card, then you are a savant beyond any expectation.
Yeah, no, that was certainly interesting. He's living his best life there in New York, so you know. God bless. But anyway, as far as the AFC East goes, I think that there's a chance they're better than Miami this season. So I think they could be the third best team in the division, which you can get into the playoffs as the third best team. You can, now with there's seven or however many teams make it now, you can get in as the fourth best team, really, if you want to go for a wild card. But no, I wonder about Tua and the Dolphins. I just think objectively Tua was carried a little bit by, you know, Mike McDaniel. Again, he's still there, and that offense is still good with those two receivers. But it's tough to rely on him to stay healthy. And so I think the Patriots improved enough to at least compete as the third best team in the division. So I would put them slightly over the Dolphins right now. But no, I mean, Jets and Bills are objectively better than the Pats.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in, again, where the New York Jets are potentially an AFC East powerhouse or an AFC East favorite. But that roster last year with three of the bottom five quarterbacks in terms of quarterback ranking, like, it was far and away the worst quarterback room in the NFL, and it wasn't even close. So if you get even reasonably competent play, like if you get Aaron Rodgers 2022, not even an MVP level season out of this season on the New York Jets, that's got to be a 3-4 win reversal for them. And of the nine wins the Patriots have in the AFC East post-Brady, six of them are at the hands of the Jets. Like, you can't just expect cakewalks at MetLife or in Foxborough against the Jetropolitans anymore.
Well, here's my question for you guys about the Jets then. So, you know, people say, you know, oh, it's the Jets, so they're just automatically going to suck. I don't buy into that theory.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Aaron Rodgers is there. Salah is a pretty good coach. Like, it doesn't matter that the Patriots own the Jets for the last 20 years. That literally does not matter. Okay, so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Most of those, I don't really buy into most of those theories. Like,
oh, it's the Browns. Oh, right, that
or even
matter.
People love to do it in college. Oh, yeah. That school has never developed a quarterback. Okay, who gives a rat's ass? What happened 30 years ago, three coaches ago, and five quarterbacks ago is irrelevant. Is this guy good? Does he have the skills, exactly, the mental? So, yes, I don't. A logo to me is kind of irrelevant. It's even, I always argued for years, like when Bill traded Jamie Collins to the Browns, and people used to mock the Browns, and they're like, the Browns will never win. No. When the Browns have the right management and the right players, they will win. Like, logos do not make or break you. It just doesn't happen. Totally. Other than maybe ownership, which I guess in my Browns example is probably part of the equation, but logos, organizations, they're made by the men that are in them. That you may, it's like when kids, I always tell kids when they're freaking out about their numbers, just make the number. Like, numbers aren't cool until a great player wears it, and then everybody wants to wear it, whether it's 69, 72, 41. Oh, that's a hideous number. And guess what? If a guy who's the greatest player in the world at that time wears it, it becomes a cool number. So, yes, no. The Jets. Now, I actually think, speaking of things that don't actually matter, here's a theory I'm going to roll into. So we've had the veteran quarterbacks. We had the perfect cases where Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, they go to a new organization, they're elite level or high level quarterbacks, they win right away. Russell Wilson does it. Everybody says, oh, Denver's going to the Super Bowl. Like, that's how it works now. You get your veteran quarterback, and it could not have gone any worse. It blew up in the Broncos' face. I think we're probably due for one of these to be kind of mediocre. One, like an Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets. Some people think it's a debacle because it's the Jets, or some people think, boom, put Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in the Super Bowl conversation. I'm kind of leaning towards, is this the one where it's just, yeah, the Jets are 9-8, you know, 10-7, something like that, sort of a middle of the road one. But again, it really has no bearing on Russell, you know, Russell Wilson's Denver tenure and Tom Brady's Tampa tenure have nothing to do with what Aaron Rodgers does. It's all on him. But I'm just also into a little bit of the law of averages, and I think this one could just be a mediocre one.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think about, too, the situation they go into, right? Because, you know, Brady goes to Arians, who, you know, offensive coach, airs it out and is a respected, you know, offensive head coach, right? And then, obviously, Stafford goes to the Rams with McVay. And so he has, you know, a quality system built around him, where Russell Wilson goes with Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos, and he's out of there after one season. So, I mean, Rodgers going into a place with solid head coach, a defensive guy, but he has Hackett there too, who he worked with. So, I mean, that should work in theory, but,
right.
No, you're right. I think that we're kind of at a place where maybe it's just mediocre and it's just a good team, and it's not way up here, way down there. It's kind of
like, yeah. I keep trying to figure out, like, Brad Spielberger, who we had last week on from Pro Football Focus. PFF is so high on the Jags right now. They think the Jag wagon is going to be a dominant force in the AFC. I think because they got Calvin Ridley basically for free, that we could be sleeping on them as well, because it's a pretty excellent team all around. Otherwise, you know, the AFC North, Andy, we've talked about them. Like, there's really not going to be an easy out there as well. AFC West is tough. Whoever's going to be those three wildcard teams, they are going to be battle tested, bruised and bloodied by the time they get there, because there just aren't a lot of cakewalks, patsies or weaklings in the AFC this year. Like, it's going to be a full Anchorman brawl, which will make for great football. But we can't just tell the Foxborough faithful and the diehards right now, like, hey guys, don't worry, you're going to punch your ticket back there, and Mr. Kraft will finally get that playoff appearance and win that he covets so badly. Before we get to the second leg of the pod, real quick, Mike, your favorite offseason move and your favorite draft pick.
All right, offseason move. I really like the signing of Juju Smith-Schuster. I think, and I mentioned it earlier, but I think with the way O'Brien wants to run this offense, you know, matchup driven, you know, find your matchups, pre-snap, win from the slot. I think Juju exemplifies that. And again, he's better after the catch than Jacoby. He's a possession receiver. I think they're going to run a lot of their offense through Juju. And he's still young, and I think he's pretty good. I think that's someone who you got him for, you know, cheaper than you would have gotten, you know, a higher end receiver, like trading for, you know, Tyreek Hill was for the Dolphins, or, you know, Diggs for the Bills. So I think that could sneaky be a really good signing. As far as draft pick, it's chalk, but it's Christian Gonzalez. I think that kid is an absolute stud. I really do. I think they stole him at pick 17. Mm-hmm. And there was no... Everyone talks about, oh, why did he fall, right? Like, oh, there's got to be a reason he was there at 17, because, you know, maybe he's actually not that good and teams didn't have him that high. I just think the way the board fell, the needs that the teams in front of them had, Gonzalez was just there at 17 and they said, all right, let's take him. And I think he has a chance to be one of the better players in this draft. There was that 6-second clip that came out of him at practice that everyone's fawning over now. Just, you know, fluid hips and no false movements, right? Again, it's
Andy's favorite 6 seconds.
Well, again, Andy loves the social media reaction. That's why I'm here, right? So
this is great. This is my favorite new dynamic, because Mike brings in where a realm I used to traffic and navigate in so much with a lot of the online stuff, the hype videos, the positivity. Andy sees everyone fawning over 6 seconds of Gonzo just like turning his hips and catching a pass. And he's like, ah, you people. And by the way,
we'll see tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Mike, you had a chance to curry a little favor with Andy, because there's a little room left. I think there's still a couple tickets left on the James Robinson hype train, which Andy is the engineer on this offseason. So,
yeah, big. I think that's going to be one of the truly underappreciated signings of the offseason. To me, he has the potential, if healthy, to be the perfect pairing with Ramondre Stevenson. They're both can run the ball, can catch the ball. A, it takes a little off of Stevenson's plate when he got gassed last year. And I don't think people realize how good Robinson was his first year and even his second year to some degree in Jacksonville. You got a 1,400 yards from scrimmage type player.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Brien, you trust him to utilize his personnel. If this were Matt Patricia, maybe I wouldn't be as high on it, but you have a good offensive coordinator who has a good piece to a puzzle. He's not you know, I'm not saying he's going to go out and be a Pro Bowler and rush for 2,000 yards or whatever, but in terms of puzzle pieces, I think James Robinson's fascinating. Now, I just want to ask you real quick.
Yeah.
What is your response to those who believe, some have said, as reporters like to say, some have said that Juju Smith-Schuster only reaches the heights of his ability when there is an all-pro lined up next to him on the offense?
It's a fair point because, again, his career season, his 1,400-yard season was when AB was there and dictated coverage, right? And so
he plays in the Arena League now, but he doesn't actually. He just goes on posters and then doesn't show up for the game.
Oh, and he also doesn't pay his employees, which is terrific.
He's apparently recruiting Cam Newton to play quarterback there, too. Oh, yeah. Anyone see that?
That'll go well.
Yeah, right.
Imagine Cam in the Arena League. When you're at the concession stand, you have to have your head on a swivel. You could get a fastball back in the skull.
Yeah, what? I wonder if the Ohio train fire can make itself a football team. Ah, there we go.
No, it's the Juju thing's a fair point. I agree. But I think that there's so many, and again, this is sort of what we dealt with the Patriots the last few seasons. There's so many number two options on this team. There's not really that number one, right? But I think now more than ever, there's even more of those number twos. You talk about Juju and Henry and Gesicki and Kendrick Bourne. And again, we'll see what happens with Tyquan Thornton, right? But I think that those other guys are going to dictate coverage. And then if Juju is covered as your number one, then you get other guys involved with Gesicki. And so his impact may not necessarily be on the stat sheet. It may be simply because he's their number one guy and they dictate coverage elsewhere. And then, you know, they can make things happen with the rest of the offense.
Really, really, really good start, Mike. Love to get all your opinions on this. Happy to have you in the family. That's the first leg of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Coming off Memorial Day and the Celtics elimination in the Eastern Conference Finals, we are turning a positive page, and we are thrilled to have you as a part of our community, dear listener. Give us a follow at Six Rings Pod. Of course, he's at Jumbo Hart. I'm at Fitzy GFY. This is at Mike Cadlick. Cadlick with a K in the front and a K in the back. Kind of like a great frame from Pedro Martinez in 1999. Give us all a follow, rate, review, subscribe, and share. We are rolling on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.